So the next order of business on the agenda is San Juan County PhD operations report. Dan Hutchins.
Okay, for the month of January, 1 month in, our cash report. January total receipts posted by the county were $8,624.69, of which $6,603.17 were property tax revenues, and there was a $2,021.52 capital refund that came back from Opalco. So that those were part of our revenues. That made our total cash available at the end of January $660,827.73. And of course, we just approved $511 to go off of this for next month. So we'll get back to a normal kind of revenue balance then. Disbursements by the county totaled $29,669.91, and those are for warrants processed in January. There were no payroll expenses. The commissioners get their first quarter meeting fees paid in April, so there were no payroll expenses in February. There was a $270.22 reimbursement back from the Fire District 3. They pay back half of the CAG expenses, and the county put that back into our expense line, which they should put it in a revenue line. So that's why the difference of the $270.22 when I first tried to balance our expenditures and revenues. So next month, they couldn't do it by this board meeting, but they are going to make up the revenue line for those monies coming back from fire so that we can see them coming in and out properly. Then there are for public records requests. January reported there were 5 public records requests. There are still 5 public records requests. We didn't get any additional records requests, but we are still processing 2 of those records requests. And one of the records requests that came back in has totaled from legal expense to look at them for redactions and attorney-client privilege and other redactions that could be taken was $2,324 just for one. And the fifth one that is just gone to the attorney for the same thing is a much bigger file, but I won't have that expense until the next month because the legal bills come a month behind. So public records requests can be expensive. Dr. Appleton, I don't know how to call you. You asked at the last meeting if we could break out the legal and accounting expense on the bar number. That is the way they report that.
Right.
So what I did was I can break it out and put it listed here and tell you every month. In January, we had $632.50 in legal expense. And in accounting expense, we had $6,321.52. And that was for a invoice from the Washington State Auditors for our 2017 financial audit. I just received another one yesterday that has not been processed yet, so we're up to about $17,000 now. I think they quoted us for the audit that somewhere around $11,000, so I think we might come in under that. I got a phone call from the auditor in charge of our audit, and we are responding to the last things that they want us to send in, and then we should be able to set the exit conference date soon.
You said 17,000? I'm confused, because the county of the accounting expenses totaled 6,000?
Excuse me.
Oh, 1,700.
1,700, yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah. That's exciting that it's coming in.
Yeah, I think. And that's the amount of San Juan EMS pays the district back half of the audit bill. So we haven't gotten that back yet from them. So that's just total we've paid out. In the financials, there was the revenue and expenditures by fund, the Eden Revenue Detail Report, and the monthly financial statements, and the Eden Expenditure Status Report. Usually in your packets, it just says Expenditure Status Report. I went and changed that because in the Expenditure Status Report, it didn't show that extra, that line item of the $270.22, so it didn't balance. But I went in and made the expenditure detail report where you could see, and I highlighted it in your packets to see where that the general journal put that money back in, so you can see that. And then when you added up the expenditures and the expenses from our packets, they did balance. Since we've only had 1 month, everything's pretty well on track except for the legal expense and some of the things we paid up front. With public records requests, not knowing, you know, when we're going to get them and how much information is going to be pulled, because you don't know what the requests are, that could change what our legal expenses are at the end of what the fulfillment of the requests are. But I'll report monthly of how that is progressing. We have one more. I only have one more that's left out that needs to come back in. So for that.
So it's, as far as attendant costs for public records requests, you're talking about legal fees and Northwest Technology. Are you including then staff time?
No, you don't include staff time for being able to charge for. You can charge for paper copies now. Back in July 1st, 2017, you can now start charging a few cents for each megabyte of an electronic record that, you know, comes in.
But it's nominal. That said,
but you cannot charge. It's specifically in the rule. It says you cannot charge for your staff time.
But in terms of the impact on the district, staff time is,
but
is it an important component, is it not?
It is.
Is there a way for you to track that?
We could track our hours. Basically, you know, some days we spend three quarters of our day working on a public records request.
Well, unless it's not too burdensome, I would ask you to do that.
Sure.
Looking forward
until
further notice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, anyone have any questions on financials?
No.
Okay. Then on to operational report. The Citizens Advisory Group, I usually report on their meetings, and they just... they're still meeting in the district office. They had a meeting yesterday at the Fire Department 3 headquarters. They had Katie Holstein, the EMS program manager, and Jason Norris, the pre-hospital EMS liaison. They're talking to them about the state's role in the EMS service delivery. They also will have a meeting tonight at the district office starting at 6:30 be more of a working session. And then their next scheduled meetings that I have are on March 6th and March 20th at the district office. And it would be, they are set to give their final report by March 31st, so it would be prudent to go on to the district website and check the schedules for the meetings, because they might be having some more meetings added, because on the district website you can see their whole schedule and meetings and minutes and things like that. So, as far as the long-term care task force, we are still Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation is still taking donations for up to the feasibility study costs. The health facilities planning can start the feasibility study, and it still, would cost approximately $50,000, but they were willing to get going on the feasibility study. That has been complicated by Peace Island Medical Center is also having them do some work on their needs assessment and long-term care things, and so a lot of that data that they're going to be collecting for that will be crucial for this feasibility study for the long-term care, so possibly some of that can be integrated into that. I have a call in to Jody Corona to talk about how the things they're doing for Peace Island Medical Center impacts this, and how how that affects our timeline of getting the feasibility study done.
It seems to have dropped off the public radar a little bit, given the low amount of donations. Mm-hmm. Is there any discussion about increasing the visibility of the subject again? Or?
Yes, most decidedly.
Okay.
At the LAX Healthcare Foundation meeting, Evan Perola is going to mount a campaign effort. It's going to be countywide, frankly, because this is, restitution of the services lost by the Life Care Center for America. Pretty had countywide impact. And we noticed the same thing, Mark, that it's fallen off. But, as of late, it's been the denials of Kaiser Permanente in terms of their medical transport flights has really caught the community's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Evan
Perlis had mentioned that he might write an editorial just to resurface the subject.
He's definitely going to do that. Okay. He made that commitment.
Lastly, the Board of Commissioners chose Carl Kutzing to be the interim chief for San Juan Island EMS, and his contract started February 6, 2019, so he is in the process of shadowing and learning everything he can from Chief Martin, who gave his resignation on January 25, 2019. And Chief Martin's last day will be April 1st, 2019. So Chief Martin and Interim Chief Kutzing will be working very closely for the next several weeks and to make it a smooth transition for when Chief Martin retires. And that's my report.
Thank you, Pam.
One other question, Pam.
Sure.
Yesterday, when the whole scene Norris were here today, have any perspective offered concerning the CID? Did they say anything regarding the CID?
No.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, they're actually not in that loop at all.
Well, they are state level of Board of Health.
Well, they are, but with the CID, it's the AG's office, which is not the DOH.
Yeah, and they're not isolated from that. I was just curious if they had any perspective offered regarding the investigation.
They've never mentioned it to my knowledge.
They stay pretty walled off, actually.
Yeah.
Under their security.
They use the AG's office
backing up their legal opinion. Walled off.
As far as our particular SID, they really have nothing to do with it. Thank you, Pam. Any other questions of Pam or comments? Okay. Next order of business is the operations report, 7-9 on EMS. Chief Jerry Moore.
Good evening, Commissioners. Presentation tonight, going over what we've done so far this year. We've had 83 calls this year in January. We're down 5 calls that we were from last year. And looking at this is our repeat patients that we're seeing, that we're looking at them going over to the community paramedicine group. So that's where it looks like it's going to. Average number of calls is 2.49. This year, so far this year, it's been split between Island Air and Airlift Northwest is 12 transports apiece going off the island. In your report tonight, if you look at the financials, page 3-7 is for January of 2019, and then pages 8-12 is the final for 2018, which includes all of the summary for the 13th month. So that'd be the final for that. I'll turn this over to Chris Pump and to have him go over the budget and let you know where we're at.
Good afternoon. So, January is always a little bit of a funky month for EMS because we have quite a bit of kind of one-time costs that are outlaid for that will cover the full year, basically prepaying costs for the entire year. Those all fall under the health reimbursement account, HRA for employees, the medical flights insurance, and then our the insurance for the agency. And so we had and then the other funky thing that happened this month was, and we discussed this last month at the last month's meeting, but we did get, so our revenues were $109,000. $62,800 of that was or that was reported on here was a check that came in right at the very end of the year for the ACH, from the ACH. So you factor that out, it was $46,200 of what would be considered recurring monthly revenue. Our expenditures were $251,600, and of that, $79,000 of that was the one-time cost for insurance and the HRA and all that. So that leaves us at our expenses were now, you know, 10% of our budget for the year, and about 4.8 for the revenue, 4.8%, and you know that we're going to start seeing more of that pick up here as the well, probably not a whole lot yet, since the property taxes will be flowing in April. Our cash, we're sitting on $906,000, which is about 4.5 months of what our budget is. So, of our budgeted expenses. So, we're sitting in a very healthy cash position. Other than that, don't really have too much to report. Everything else has been pretty straightforward, other than those one-time outlays and the extra amount that's come in from the ACH. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, or okay? Or any questions from me, for me?
So your cash reserves, $900,000 so forth, 4.5 months, correct?
Yes.
And you said they were very healthy.
Yes.
At what level would they be healthy?
3 months. That's the definition of...
Correct.
So considering we're kind of near the valley in terms of our fluctuation of cash. last year, I'd have to look it up, but I think about this time we were at barely free. So our cash position is just much healthier right now. I mean, I expect that we're going to burn through more money in February because, you know, it's not until March that those property tax revenues start coming in. Which is a big
but our running average over the year for the last year is better than the year before.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my question then is, do you have any thoughts of whether we should use some of that money to pay down part of this building?
I don't think so.
You don't have the thoughts? You don't think we should?
No, I have thoughts.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's
regarding
what
this, but that would not be something I would recommend. I mean, we have, there is capital equipment that needs to be acquired. Some of it is, and that some of that is in our plan in the next 5 years. So that I would say that replacing that equipment would be a higher priority than paying down this mortgage any further. You know, and making extra payments on this, and also just maintain. You know, our 3 years ago, the cash position here was really struggling, and so there are just and some of what has brought our increase there is we have a lot more cash now because we've had a lot of income coming in from the ACH, but that, you know, a lot of that hasn't been used yet, but will be used this year with the community paramedicine program and on the additional EMTs and such.
We've had management meetings where we've discussed if we should be doing that, and we've discussed I want to say what 3 or 4 times last mm-hmm. year where we would sit down, have Pam across the meetings too, and our decision has been not to. That we do have capital equipment that we need to be looking at being prepared to buy. So for that reason, in our loan amount, our interest amount is very, very reasonable. So we've elected not to do it.
So if I recall correctly, in years past, given the state auditor review, they had expectations in terms of cash reserves to float this organization for a number of months.
Yes.
And what is that recommendation?
How many months do you know, Chris? They recommend that you keep at least 3 months.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
The ACH, we've been working with the Snow One Community Group, and we just finalized our paperwork with them. We've been working with them on that stuff, getting ourselves in line with that, and we'll be working with them. We'll be starting to spend some of that ACH money with them to have our computer data, our information that we have to be sent over to the ACH, compiled by one person. We'll be chipping in to that employee with the other departments in Snohomish County. So we'll be starting that here pretty soon. The GEMT, continue to get the money for our Medicaid transports. That's working out well. Community-based, we've been running CPR first aid classes. We just finished up a wilderness first aid class. We had 13 students in that, and we just received 4 pediatric mannequins from the EMT group from San Juan Island EMS, and that matches the adult mannequins that we've got. So we got really good mannequins that we were able to measure our CPR progress. Nothing from the IAFF or the SID operations. No fatigue assessments to report. Narcan usage as far as the EMTs, there's been no usage from the EMTs on an individual basis. Our 24-hour EMT shifting is working fabulous. We are able to get the rig out and not disturb the other EMTs that are volunteering the work that these guys are doing around the station, making sure that our rigs and the station is kept up to the standards, is working out marvelous. Our dispatch times have been fixed with the dispatch office, but that's been a temporary fix. They're looking at having to change out a server. So when that server gets fixed, then our times should be permanently fixed. Working with other departments, the medical protocols for BLS, ALS. BLS, we just got notified that the BLS protocols for San Juan County has been approved. That has not been distributed out to any of the EMTs, and we expect that to be done in the next couple of weeks. ALS protocols. Mick is working on that. He says that he should have ALS draft out by next Monday afternoon. And we got notification from the financial secretary of the count of the San Juan County EMS Association that there is $10,504.82 in that account. So Mick says that he's not worried about any issues of him getting paid for the work that he's doing. So I think we're able to stand down any contributions to the EMS Council at this time. EMT class going on is this is just a really good class that we have working. We lost one of our EMT students due to a work schedule that they had. So we'll see if down the road that we can just maybe fit them back in somewhere. But this class is working out very, very well. They're passing all their written scores and their practical skills, so they're working out very good. Chief Kutzing is on track with his position as far as the chief. I think you guys will be very happy with his performance after I leave. Carl, last week, met with Jim Fredman, who's handling our CID investigation. He took a class with him down there on internal investigations, responding to government inquiries, which is, there was about 40 people down there for that. We scheduled a time to go down to Systems Design, that's our billing company, to transfer the documents from my name to Carl's name. So we'll be doing that in a couple weeks. And then also that way he can meet all the people down there that handle our billing and medical billing accounts. Him and Caitlin are also going to be attending a bars class coming up here. I believe it's the first or second week in March. That way he's acquainted with the cash accounting and the bars accounting. And then we got a couple other classes too coming up, reviewing Stark Law, anti-kickback statute, and false claims. And that's coming up in March as well. The Kaiser Permanente Aeromedical non-payment, that's still an ongoing issue that's been talked about. And this is very similar to the CID investigation that we have going on. It's just a different player. It's just this we were set up to with when we had the Medicaid investigation. It was Medicaid. This is Kaiser. And the situation is almost parallel with that. I've been receiving some calls on that, like I reported last month, about the residents questioning that they're about their air membership, and since we don't cover it, we just refer them back down to the other people, but. We do show their and give their brochures to the people that are out there. There is, I think last month or month before, I gave you guys the documentation for the new dispatching or the radio program. That's what the CODAN presentation is going to be. That's going to be at the fire station here on March 11th at 10 a.m. So they'll be going over what this new radio system and how it will work in their presentation. So that'll be done on that day.
That's at Mullis.
Yes.
You said here. And,
okay. Yeah, at the fire station. Helipad, we're going to be setting up a couple meetings. We talked about this a couple years ago, and we're going to start looking at having a meeting to discuss the logistics of having a helipad located here at the hospital. Airlift has done a complete preliminary report on having this over there, and that Airlift is willing to pay for the whole installation of the helipad. So we're going to be looking at logistics of having that.
Will they do the permitting also?
Mm-hmm.
Not just payment, but they'll do the paperwork.
Yes, the whole thing.
Yeah. And then after the meeting, there will be a contract coming to you guys that for your signature. It's the contract for the sheriff's billing for 2019. And this is the standard bill that we have gotten over the last every year. And it's based on a formula that takes the average of not the last year, but the 3 years prior among all of the fire departments and EMS departments, how much we use it and what the cost is of dispatching. It breaks it out that way. So you'll be seeing that here after the meeting, for your signatures. Community paramedicine, like I said, we are on track with that. Laney is just working marvelously. The other county community paramedicine programs in Snohomish County, they're starting to hire some community paramedicines, medics for their program. So everything is working on track, and what our program will be doing will parallel their program. Any questions from you guys?
I have a couple.
Yeah.
And thank you for checking on the budget. ALS, mm-hmm. Nick said next Monday or the Monday after?
Be next Monday afternoon. He expects to have a draft, the next draft of the ALS protocols out to be reviewed.
But not a draft, penultimate to the final, but we still have the input in to the telecommunications so that
is correct.
So any idea of how far out we are on that, or how far out the final council is on that?
I don't know. It all depends on how fast he can get the responses back from the medics and the MPD.
On the CID, mm-hmm. You met with Redmond.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
Jim and I, we've talked about it, and we go back and forth whether or not we should if we should be more aggressive on this, if we should be just sit back and wait for the Attorney General's office to respond back to us. Up to this point, we have decided to sit back and wait, because what the AG has suggested is that that we're on the very bottom of the list, that we're not a priority, that there's nothing wrong found, that they just got other people, a lot more calls, a lot more cases ahead of us. We have suggested that we should, and we've had Jim call them, and we get the same answer every time. We talked about maybe sending them a letter requesting that we get this over with, but we're not wanting to, I guess, poke the bear on this. And with Jim's expertise on this, we've been following his suggestion.
Is there a statute of limitations where we'd fall off the bottom of the list?
Yes.
When would that happen?
It depends on what you look at. It could be 3 to 5 years.
3 to 5 years from now, or
three to five. From the very beginning, from the calls that they look at. However, if the Attorney General's office really thought that if it is a where they think that we did fraud, if it was fraud, if we were fraudulent, then it could go to 10 years. But if they thought we were fraudulent, they'd be going after us now. So those are the three numbers that have been thrown out at me.
And we're about what, Jerry, 3 years into it?
Three.
Yeah, we're over three.
Over three.
Yeah.
But the longer it goes, the more expensive it is. I think we've spent, what, $270,000 on legal fees for this now?
No.
No? It's over $200,000.
Over $200,000.
I don't even know if we've spent that.
No. We no. Our first year we spent.
That was like 160.
Yeah, and I think that also included the. I think that included the attorney fees, because we also had a labor mediations going on.
Yes.
During that time too.
So they're separate.
You're right, and so our fees for Jim Fredman, we only incur them when I call him up and ask him about what we should do. Should we forge forward with a letter and that. So we're not incurring much legal fees on this.
At least currently.
At least currently.
Yeah.
So where are we? What is the number for the CID? Taking out the other numbers, what I heard 270, no, not that, this and that. What is the bottom line number that we've spent on this in legal fees so far?
They give you the exact number. I couldn't tell you.
I don't think we've spent more than 160.
160, you say?
I think about. I don't think it's been more than 160.
So I've asked the same question times
because,
past.
Yeah, like I said, in 2016 was the year where the preponderance of all the costs were incurred. In that year, our total legal fees. This is off the top of my head, but it was $160,000. And, of course, we had other costs, you know, attorney fees involved in that. 2017 and 2018, the attorney fees were pretty minimal. And I'd have to look into the detail to add up all the fees that were specific to that. But if I was just to put my thumb to, you know, finger to the air, I'd say I would be surprised if it was more than 160,000
total. We can dig those figures up pretty fast.
Yeah, I just have trouble when I hear attorney's fees and minimal. Those two words just don't match up in my mind.
I'd agree. It's the
and I'm on both sides of that equation. I know.
Yeah,
that.
In our current situation, the fees that we've spent related to this have not been significant in the last 2 years.
However, it hasn't wrapped up, and I understand the concept of not wanting to poke the bear, but it's a liability that hangs over us all the time. And you know, if we're on a further point, if we're looking at this consolidation concept with fire, we bring this as a liability, as well as the mortgage on the bond. So, these seem like two issues that this board should be looking at. And, you know, it seems to me we should draft a letter to the AG as the board and ask them to wrap it up. It's a big expense for the public.
I would suggest that we pay attention to the attorney that we pay a lot of money for and that has the experience in these things. And his view is we don't do anything. I would not say I know enough about this to say let's send a letter.
I'm not saying I know anything. I'm just saying that, like, you know, asking the AG if we, you know, considering the cost and the length of time, if there is some consideration they could give us in terms of wrapping it up.
It's a fair point. Is Jim Fredman aware of this potential integration of EMS with FOX?
Yes. Yes.
And his the opinions he's offering in light of that as well.
Correct. Yeah. And we have talked about this, and after we get done with one discussion, you know, we are for going forward with this, and then the next time we discuss this, we're saying, well, let's wait and see what happens. So.
It's a ticklish judgment call. And as Chief Martin said, council has gone back and forth on it. It's sort of a, you know, if you lose, if you ping them hard and you lose, then you can lose big. So that's the good thing. The good news in the whole scenario is, as Chris said, that the legal carrying costs on a monthly basis is nominal.
If they're going to incur, we asked them to really engage the AG's office to wrap it. I mean, there's going to be more costs that we're going to incur on that, on a front end. So I can understand why. It's a burden that we carry over us, but my feeling is because, you know, I've dealt with this with other people on other situations too, it's all kind of a risk reward analysis, and I tend to trust what the council would recommend for sure, but the longer this goes out, the less likely it is that there's going to be any fines put on us.
And a reminder that we're on our third or fourth assistant attorney general on this, fourth, and that the investigator who was doing the investigation has retired. So I mean, everything is looking forward positive for us. And so it's just a wait and see.
And did Redmond say he still had the new associate that was a former investigator?
I'm sorry?
Did he say that my understanding in talking with him, and he had hired Redmond had hired someone new that had been a former investigator for the state, and I thought we were going to get input through that person. Did he mention that?
Jim Fredman is now with a different firm.
I understand that, but in his firm, he just hired somebody.
Yes, and so they're still working throughout that process, and we are again just we're in that waiting situation. So,
Pam, do you have perspective on this?
Well, I was just wondering if not a letter of demanding, you know, what's going on, but just a friendly kind of inquiry letter. It's been a while, you know, if a friendly kind of letter would do harm.
Just Jim's been having friendly conversations with him.
Oh.
Nathan, any thoughts?
No, sir.
Can I ask about the new EMTs and how, you know, you obviously have a lot of shifting around with employees and such, and it starts me to think about how, you know, we decided as a board to approve the investment of two new employees for the community, and I'm glad to hear that you see improvement and that things are better. I was just curious, you know, I was looking at this incident list alarm date time from Fire District 3. They do a list of each call, what time it goes into dispatch, and you know, what time they're rolling, what time they arrive. I think that it would be important and valuable to this board and the community just to have more information to say we are spending more taxpayer dollars on these employees and here is what we're seeing. Because we just use this term rural response times. And I'm wondering if we can start having more information now, which could compare, so we could say, you know, we're doing better. If we could have information about, you know, when dispatch happens, when the ambulance is rolling, what time it reaches destination. And I understand that, you know, a lot of our calls are in town, so it's good, but I would like to see them broken down by distance. This is broken down by location. I think that might be a HIPAA violation if they were. So it would be nice if we could just do mileage. Is that something that we could work on? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we
the chiefs would have to collaborate, and then Chief Pussing would have to carry it.
We could do it. We've had discussions about that. Our problem, or maybe opportunity, is that our dispatch times from the sheriff's office is
they've been off.
Mm-hmm. But we can certainly give you a close numbers of that.
Okay.
And
I believe this is a report that they include in their monthly report to their board. Is that something that this board could request and have?
We could certainly do it because we have the people here now to mm-hmm. do it. Starting on January 1st of 2019, we are also contributing to or reporting to WMSIS, is the Washington State EMS mm-hmm. statistics. So we have information going there.
Mm-hmm.
The dispatch communication software interacts with the our medical reporting software. It doesn't give us the exact numbers, so you can't see when the medic goes en route, when the aid car goes en route, when other people go en route. It doesn't do that. So what we have to do is we have to go to the dispatch logs, mm-hmm. and they would have to filter that information and put it in a way that we wouldn't be violating HIPAA.
Sure. So I think that's what this is exactly, but yeah, obviously not. Mm-hmm.